Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, and on Friday, we think about what really matters on the What It Takes Radio Network.
The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
How could 26 people break the stock market? We're going to talk about that today on What Really Matters. We start now. Hi, and welcome to What Really Matters. My name is Jeff Hyback. I'm the portfolio manager for SEM Wealth Management. Peter is off today. He's actually traveling back to Boston to spend some time with his son. So gladly, I'm stepping in, filling in, and getting control of the microphone. It was an interesting week, to say the least, one that I wish Peter could have joined me for, because he loves when we see these big disconnects in the stock market. And what happened on Tuesday was a really fascinating study in investor behavior and, more importantly, market expectations. So for those of you not paying attention, what happened was the members of the Freedom Caucus, which many of you may not have heard of until this week, unless you had listened to some of our podcasts or checked out my website, semtradersblog.com, where I've been talking for really since the election about the danger of this Freedom Caucus. Now, for those of you unfamiliar with them, they are essentially the remnants of the Tea Party. Now, remember, if you go back to 2010, when the Tea Party really took control of the Republican Party, the establishment got scared, and they essentially did everything in their power to disband the Tea Party by supporting anybody who was running against the Tea Party in the primary elections. And, you know, so what we have left is these people who still believe in, you know, certain things, smaller government, slashes in government spending, not giving large corporations a bunch of favoritism. Remember, the Tea Party started with, you know, out of reaction to all the taxpayer-funded bailouts that we saw of both the Wall Street firms and the automakers back in 2008 and early 2009. So the Freedom Caucus is there. And what I've been saying since the election that we found out again this week is that was not enough of a mandate in the election as far as Congress goes to give Republicans the chance to get whatever they want done. In other words, they're going to have to make sure they keep a very, you know, basically a 21-vote majority for any of their legislation. Well, the Freedom Caucus this week, 26 members of them, came out and stood against the proposed healthcare legislation. And then all of a sudden, the market's down 1.2%. And if you're looking at market value, these 26 people knocked off about $250 billion of market capitalization just by standing up to what the president says. Now, granted, the market is still up a whole lot, and this little 1.2% loss on Tuesday is not a lot in the whole scheme of things. But what's important to realize is we've seen an almost unprecedented rally since the election of Donald Trump. And it's all been based on one thing. It's that expectation that we're going to get all these so-called good Republican policies, you know, things such as the healthcare reform. I lost track how many times the House over the last 8 years, or I guess 6 years since it became law, voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And now everybody thought, okay, great, they're going to be able to get that done. But, you know, as we're learning, it's, you know, the tough part is in the details. You know, the market's pricing in massive tax cuts, deregulation, and then, you know, that $1 trillion infrastructure spending that President Trump has talked about. All those things, in theory, are great for the economy. And if the economy is doing well, then the theory goes the stock market should do well. And that's what everybody was investing based on. So there's a couple things that we learn, you know, through this action. First of all is how fragile the stock market is. And when it's based on expectations, especially expectations from Washington, we know that can change in a heartbeat. And one of the things I warned about as we started the year was an almost opposite type of year this year than what we saw in following the first election of President Obama. And what we saw then was the expectation that President Obama was just going to be the anti-business president. And certainly his campaign made it sound like he would do that. But then as he started to take office, everybody realized, you know what, it's really hard to get all of your campaign promises done in Washington. And soon after, he started looking to compromise, and by March 9th of 2009, he had backed off of most of the things he had campaigned on as far as Wall Street regulations and, you know, prosecuting those who were responsible for the financial crisis, on and on and on. He was talking about tax hikes on the wealthy to fight the crisis, which was, you know, I never understood. He backed off on that. And all of a sudden, we had the market say, you know what, it's not going to be like we priced in. And you saw this massive rally that, you know, minus a few blips in 2011 and then especially 2015 and 2016, we haven't really even seen a 5 or 10% correction in the market. Well, now we have the market pricing in just all these wonderful campaign promises from President Trump. And now that we're into March, people are starting to realize maybe it's not going to happen. So I found it interesting. I've been reading, and we've been talking about it on and off on What Really Matters with Peter, about behavioral finance. And it's more of looking at finance from a psychologist's perspective rather than what the traditional economist would look like. And, you know, one of the people that is, you know, could be cited as the, you know, the founder of behavioral finance, so it was an Israeli psychologist named Daniel Kahneman. And he was the subject of a book by Michael Lewis. He's showed up in a couple other books that I've been reading. And so now I've actually tackled his book called Thinking Fast and Slow. And this week, actually on Wednesday morning, right after the big drop in the market, I read a passage from his book. And it said, for financial outcomes, the usual reference point is the status quo, but it can also be the outcome that you expect, or perhaps the outcome to which you feel entitled. For example, the raise or the bonus that your colleague receives becomes the status quo. Outcomes that are better than the reference points are gains. Below the reference points, they are losses. So looking at what happened on Tuesday, the reference point was, we're going to get healthcare reform, massive tax cuts, widespread deregulation, and a very big infrastructure spending plan. Well, now with the realization that 26 people could derail all of President Trump's policies, now we have a surprise to the downside. It's a loss as far as the expectations go. So it's something to keep in mind. Obviously, this story is not done. As I'm looking at this, we got a long fight ahead as far as healthcare reform, and then we got to look at tax cuts and all the other plans that the president wants to do. But it does serve as a reminder, something Peter and I have been telling people since the election, is do not let your political beliefs influence your investment direction or your investment allocations. You know, that's where a financial advisor really comes in and can help you out. Your expectations for returns are going to be different than anybody else. And you need a financial advisor in most cases to sit there and tell you, you know, what you need to earn, not what you should expect to earn. And there's a big difference there. You know, a lot of people I run across, they have pensions, they've been collecting Social Security, they did a good job getting out of debt, and they don't need to earn a lot of money. If they then sit there and say, well, I want to do what the stock market does, and I'm a Republican, so therefore I'm going to invest very heavily in the market, then you end up costing yourself more than you can afford to lose. And then, you know, Peter and I have seen it too many times in our careers where all of a sudden your well-thought financial plans have been disrupted because you got emotional with it. So the real role of a financial advisor is just to keep you from making emotional decisions. And, you know, as we saw, the market participants can be very emotional. They price things in and they take it to be the case. And if it differs, then they react almost like a two-year-old and they throw a temper tantrum. So getting those expectations set properly is important. And we'd love to help you figure out how to do that. If you're in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, you could reach out to Peter. You can find him at 401klatte.com. If you're a financial advisor and you'd like to learn more of how we can help you, figure out how to set up a behavioral portfolio for your clients, you can find me at scmtradersblog.com. My daughter helped us launch a new website called scmwealth.com as well, that you can find us there. And if you're just out there listening and you're wondering what in the world is going on with the market, my blog is there for you. We write it from a layman's perspective. It's there every day for you just to check it out. And we're trying to educate you. So if you're wondering ever what's going on with the market, check us out at scmtradersblog.com. Now, we like to end each podcast with something that I think is really important, especially as we look at the volatility of the market this week. And I love to say, invest in a conversation.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.